I want us to realize how we need to start stepping up our pace in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of us here under the sound of my voice. Let me just illustrate it this way, and then we'll get into the message. San Francisco High School offers lesbian, bisexual, homosexual classes. We don't need that. A University of Pennsylvania English course requires 3 hours of online pornography. Now, folk, each one of us here need to step up our pace in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Dear Father in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you for the privilege of prayer, and thank you for being able to be here in this place this morning. We're glad to name the name of Christ. We're glad to be able to just fellowship with these dear people around your word. I'm asking, dear sweet Holy Spirit, you'll take your word, speak to each one of our hearts. And dear Holy Spirit, I pray and ask for your anointing upon my own life. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You take and turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, please. That fifth chapter of Genesis. And I'll begin reading in verse 1. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he him. He them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Notice verse 24 in particular, please. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked. He behaved himself. Why? He behaved himself. And the scriptures tell us here, he was not. That is, he was gone. And God took him. That is, he carried him away. Enoch never saw the book that speaks of him. By the way, any man that ever walked with God would never have written such a fantastic, amazing account of it anyway. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. What substance? What style? This morning, Enoch walked with God in his own heart. Walking with God is the most difficult thing, and yet again, walking with God is as easy as drinking water. Walking with God in our hearts. The first step is when you and I put on humility upon our proud hearts. The book of Proverbs chapter 21 over here and down in verse 4, and I'll read and going to move along. Proverbs 21 and verse 4, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The first step of walking with God is not when we put on our Sunday clothes and sit down in a pew, but it's when we fill our haughty hearts with meekness. Peter tells us in 1 Peter over here in chapter, over there in chapter 3 and down in verse 4, and I read, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Oh, if we could just learn to be silent when we suffer wrong. Let an insult fall on your head like a drop of oil. Enoch, this man we're talking about that walked with God for 300 years, drank of the fruit of the Spirit before it was ever pinned in this great book. Here in Galatians chapter 5 over here, and you read with me, of course, Galatians 5, you're familiar with it, verse 22 and 3. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Would that we could say that we'd let envy and anger fall by the wayside. And you know what? I believe our Heavenly Father would look down upon you and me and say, "Hast thou considered my servant?" Oh, Matthew 25 and verse 21, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Yes, walking with God begins in our heart. Let me ask you, will you walk with Enoch's God? Will you and I walk with Enoch's God? Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 with me. Hebrews chapter 11. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, in that fifth and sixth verse, we read this. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Yes, Enoch walked by faith, not by sight. The word faith means believed. He believed God. You and I, we get acquainted with God's word. Believe it. Oh, listen. It's a God that cannot lie. Amen. Oh, my dear friend. Enoch walked by faith and not by sight. By the way, faith gives us confidence. When you and I walk by faith, we have confidence. Over here in the book of, Ephesians chapter 6. Let me read in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 6. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." If we'd just take that shield of faith, walk by faith, God says, we will quench all the fiery darts of that wicked one. Oh my, how we could learn from this man Enoch. By the way, someday, those of us who know Christ as Savior will be able to meet him that walked with God. Amen. You know, faith gives not only confidence, but it gives joy. You and I'll just walk with God. There'll be a real joy in your heart. You know, over there in 2 John, and we read this in verse 4 of 2 John, talking about walking by faith, or really having the truth, that is, the Word of God. 2 John chapter 4, or verse 4 rather, 2 John and verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as ye have received a commandment from our Father. In 3 John and verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Will you walk with Enoch's God? Faith gives us peace, real peace. One of the greatest portions of Scripture that's ever been penned. Of course, in this book, it's all great. But it's Psalm 23, known worldwide. 23rd Psalm has brought more comfort to hurting hearts than any other portion of Scripture, probably. And oh, dear friend, in Psalm 23, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yes, walking with God. Isaiah tells us that if we'll just listen, we'll hear a word, and it'll say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Oh, if we just listen to God's word. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You're here this morning because you have faith that pays to be in God's house. Amen. And by the way, if you missed that adult Sunday school hour, you missed out on a good message and good lesson. Oh my, it warmed my heart to hear that Sunday school message. Years ago, I worked as a pipe fitter in Hayden, Colorado on a powerhouse. We attended First Baptist Church of Hayden, Colorado, and the Lord had laid it on my heart to try and pass out a track on every door in that city, which I did by God's grace. I might have missed something that was someone lived in the backyard in a house condition or such, but passed out a gospel track on every door in that city. You know what? Never saw any results. 15, 20 years later, I was in the Denver airport, Denver, Colorado. A young man came up to me and said, hello. I said, I don't believe I know you. He said, oh, you used to take me and my little brother to Sunday school and church in Hayden, Colorado. And I remembered then those two boys, about 9 or 10 years of age, going out and picking them up in the country and bringing them to Sunday school. He said, by the way, I graduated from Bob Jones University and my brother's graduating next year. It pays to walk by faith. You may not see the results immediately. It wasn't long after that we moved from Hayden, Colorado back to Durango, Colorado. And one terrible cold winter night, a knock came on the door. We opened the door, and there was the most pitiful looking woman you ever saw in your life, without a coat in that terrible, cold, stormy winter night. She said, my sister, who lives in Hayden, Colorado, said if I ever needed help, I could come to you folks. We invited her in. My wife fed her some soup and a sandwich. I'd ask her if she had ever been saved. She said, no. I told her how to be saved. She said she wasn't interested. After a night's rest, I told her, I said, you need to go back to your husband. It was the hardest thing I believe I've ever had to do or done. You see, she lived in Bayfield, Colorado, in a mobile home that had no heat, no lights, no electricity. The roof was caved in, ice, had formed in that house and was all over the floor just from the cold winter conditions. A drunken husband there. Next morning, my wife gave her her best coat, a coat that a very prominent businessman in Detroit had given my wife because I'd worked for him back there in Detroit once, and we had to go downtown Detroit to that famous Macy's store to pick it out. And having gotten that coat, my wife gave that to her. I gave her a tract, What Must I Do to Be Saved, by Dr. John R. Rice. Bought her a bus ticket and put her on the bus, headed her back home. On the way back home, she read that gospel tract, trusted Christ as her Savior. She got home and went in that cold, icy shell of a mobile home, took all the booze and threw it out, took all the trashy records and threw them out. Her husband got saved and her two kids. Oh, listen, dear friend, it pays to walk by faith. Just obey God and let God do something in your life and mine. And by the way, we read over there in the book of Hebrews that Enoch pleased God. Yes, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Pleased God. You see, we are to please God. Yes, the book of Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 there, we read this, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We're to please God. By the way, you may please God and not be translated, but be assured you'll not be translated unless you please God. Oh my, how we need to get it in our spirit and our heart to just please God. Enoch walked with God. Only a Christian, only a believer can obtain God's favor. Only one who will turn to Christ and receive Him as Savior. Hebrews 11 and verse 5 said he had a testimony that he pleased God. No one else had a greater testimony. No one else, I don't believe, ever had a greater testimony than Enoch. Unless it might have been Elijah. You know Elijah, that one that was caught up to heaven, never died. Well, Elisha was standing there and he saw him caught up to heaven. And he said, my father, the chariot of Israel. And he went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Jude tells us a little something about Enoch. Jude, that 14th and 15th verse. Let me read, please. Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Here's a man 6,000 years ago said, Behold, the Lord cometh. Yes, He's coming. Need to recognize the soon coming of the Lord. Enoch was not talking about the rapture of the church. He's talking about our Lord coming in vengeance upon this wicked old world. We call it His second advent or second coming. Of course, His first advent was when He came as a babe in the manger. But His second coming is when He'll come to this old world and smiterize all those wicked armies that'll be surrounded around Jerusalem. And then He'll set up a 1,000-year reign here on earth. Yes, if you and I would strive to walk with Enoch's God, He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6. If you and I would just walk with God, he'll reward you. By the way, don't miss heaven. Don't miss heaven. Enoch was translated, Genesis chapter 5, we read, and I read it again in verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, that verse may not be speaking primarily to you and me about Enoch walking with God. It may be speaking to our hearts to give us assurance that every believer will never die. Because God took him, he believed God. John 11:26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yes, this verse may very well not be emphasizing his walk with God so much as the fact that if you're here today and know Christ as Savior, our Lord is going to take you and me by life or by death. Amen? And don't miss heaven. Oh, please. You know why God took him? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved him. That's why he took him. Oh, listen, dear friend. Will you begin to walk with God? In closing, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 over here. In that 55th verse, we read, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Verse 56, the sting of death is sin. The reason we're dying is because of sin. And the strength of sin is the law. The reason we know we're sinners is because God's word, his law, tells us. And it goes on, it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Enoch walked with God. Let's stand together in closing prayer, please.